Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another Saturday morning we have here at Suspense Radio. Welcome back after a week hiatus that we were off last week. We have a king-size show for you today. Coming first is going to be author James Rollins with his latest book, The Devil Colony, and Exploded here. This one is probably, without a doubt, the best of his Sigma Force novel series that he's put out. And then later in the show coming up, we're going to have the stars that you know from the Ghost Lab on Discovery Channel, Everyday Paranormal. That is Brad and Barry Klinge. And they're going to be talking about their book, Chasing Ghosts, Texas Style. And you know in Texas, everything is just so much bigger. So it's time to sit back and relax and enjoy, because we got 60 minutes of Suspense Radio beginning right now. Exciting things going on, and I want to thank everybody. I'm your host, John Ruff, for joining us here on Suspense Radio. We're going to have James Rollins coming up shortly, as soon as we can get him on, to talk about his book, The Devil Colony. If a lot of you don't know about James Rollins, he is one of the leading authors right now in the historical fiction category. He's burst onto the scene here. He's come on with his Sigma Force novel series, and he's always such a delight, such a great guy, a good friend of ours, and I know that you'll be interested in hearing what he has to say. And then coming up later, around 10:30, we're going to have, like I said, the stars of Ghost Lab, Brad and Barry Klinge on the phone here, or Klinge. I suck with last names, so hopefully I got it right. And they're going to be talking about Chasing Ghosts, Texas Style, and their kind of inside information into the paranormal, supernatural out there, which is, you know, extremely popular when you turn on the Discovery channels and you see every single bit of, you know, ghost stories that are out there. Myself, I would have to say, you know, that I am definitely a ghost believer, never had the experience to actually see or, you know, be involved with the paranormal of ghosts, but I would have to say that there's just way too much information out there for, you know, for these things not to be true. So the good thing that we kind of have here today, if we can get James on the phone, is that, you know, James kind of writes about, you know, things that are happening in the past, that have happened in the past, mysteries and stories that are sometimes urban legends, you know, sort of how like Dan Brown did with, you know, Da Vinci Code and things like that. You know, what Steve Barry does with his Cotton Malone series. Excuse me. I hate it when I drink and it goes down the wrong pipe. So, anyway, you know, so James is very good at those types of of those stories. So we kind of have two guests that are going to be on that are writing about things that people always wonder, you know, well, what's true, what's fake, what's fiction, what's not. And, you know, when you're writing historical fiction, you know, like the authors out there, and, so, you know, when you're writing stories out there, you know, like authors like that, like James Rollins and, you know, Dan Brown and Steve Barry, and then you're also talking about, you know, ghost paranormal and all those other fun things, you just don't know what's real, what's not. And, you know, when you start diving into this, I think what you end up doing is you start seeing, you know, going out there and checking out certain, you know, aspects of the history. Is it real? Is it not? And, you know, you start making up your own mind, because there's a lot of great, you know, mysteries out there that have yet to be solved, that if you just go, you read, you do a little research and things like that, you know, you just never know what you're going to find. And then I'm just excited to be able to talk about ghosts coming up here. I got the book in my hand, and I'm telling you what, with, you know, with Brad and Barry Clinch, and I think I said their name three times now, their last name three different ways, so hopefully I've gotten it right once. This is definitely one here that even if you're very much a skeptic and you're not really sure, you know, ghosts exist and things like that, there's the technology out there. I mean, we used to watch, you know, the Ghost Adventures with those guys, and to see all the different worlds of, you know, the ghost hunts and the explosion, I guess, onto the scene of the ghost stories and these, you know, ghost shows on the Discovery Channel and things like that, that has just been, you know, tremendous. Again, we're still waiting to see if we can get James Rollins. You know, hopefully something didn't happen. You know, we've had this happen before. You know, sometimes this happens with guests. You know, we get them confirmed and, you know, something happens that's beyond our control and we don't know. So I'm going to have to be, you know, ad-libbing here for a little bit until we can get our, you know, our next guest on the show. So what I'm going to do here is we're going to look and we're going to see, you know, some of the things that are coming out in the new releases for, you know, for books that are going to be here in the mystery and suspense, you know, thriller horror, in the horror genre. The one thing that's interesting is that Lee Child is bringing out a Kindle single called Second Son, which is a Jack Reacher kind of short story. I'm not really sure if it's going to be a bridge or if it's going to be, you know, something that's like totally on its own. I think it's going to be a totally on its own story, and that's going to be something that's different because he's never done that. Kathy Reichs, who you might know, she's the show Bones. She's not, her characters were created for that show Bones on Fox, and she has a book coming out here called Flash and Bones. That's definitely somebody we'd like to get on the air to talk about. We've also, Douglas Preston and Lincoln Child are back with Special Agent Pendergast and their book, Cold Vengeance. We were able to interview them with their Gideon Sword book, and, you know, they're great, and I still apologize to Lincoln for not getting them on the air soon enough, but, you know, you can go back and listen to what they talked about that. James Patterson, of course, is coming out. I mean, I think he's every week with Kill Me If You Can, and with author Marshall Karp. And, you know, that's another one that, you know, James is very good now of, you know, he's written his books, and let's face it, you know, he's put himself in the iconic status of, you know, James Patterson, Stephen King, Dean Koontz. You know, he is one of the all-time icons now in writing. So, you know, you got to give him a little slack when he's going ahead and, you know, he has so many great ideas, he just can't get them out anymore, that he gets other authors to go ahead and take his ideas and expand on them so he can at least get a story out there to the masses, because, you know, it is his story that he's writing about. It's just someone else, you know, helping him and going through so he can get, you know, more books out because he does have so many great ideas. Then you have another full-length novel here with Jack Reacher coming with Lincoln Child, or with Lee Child. And I don't know if you've heard, and this is a rumor, I don't know if this is actually takes place because Hollywood changes every day, but I hear that Tom Cruise is going to be the next Jack Reacher in the movies, or not the next Jack Reacher, but he's going to be the first Jack Reacher because they've never had a movie. But he's going to be portrayed as Jack Reacher. A lot of people, when they've heard that, have not come with very positive, you know, reviews of that, saying, you know, why Tom Cruise? You know, he's not a good Jack Reacher. And, you know, I would always have to kind of agree with that sentiment because, you know, Lee Child has very much created a character, Jack Reacher, that is, I mean, you know, to say the least, everyone calls him, you know, they call him, you know, the badass in books. You know, he's the one. I don't see Tom Cruise kind of portraying that off. I see more of like a Daniel Craig, somebody who is more along the lines of, you know, that badass person in the books to be able to pull that off. Maybe they're just doing it because, you know, Tom Cruise is a big name and, you know, they need a big name. But I think that Lee Child has such a following that Jack Reacher that, you know, you could definitely do it with somebody else and make it, you know, just as fascinating, if not better, than having to try to pull somebody in where, you know, nothing against Tom Cruise. I mean, he's done some great stuff, but, you know, he's done his mission as possible, and I just don't think it's a great fit. You know, hopefully that there's a change in there, but we'll have to keep up to date and see what's going on with that on as far as, like, production and see exactly where they're at. Because if you remember back when, you know, Nicolas Cage was supposed to be Spider-Man, and, of course, that changed, and, you know, it's Tobey Maguire. So these things change all the time. So until they actually have announced the cast and are going into production and the script is ready, and you just, Hollywood, you just don't know about. So take it for what you want, but I wouldn't get too worked up over it right now. David Balducci is coming out here soon with a book called Zero Day. We love David. We might have him on to talk about that. Another one, of course, is Janet Ivanovich with Explosive 18, another Stephanie Plum novel, 18 of them. Okay, enough said. Iris Johansson's coming out here with another book, Eve Duncan, called Bonnie. And, you know, that's always, she's great. You know, we've had her on the show, and she always does a fabulous job. So we're excited to see what she's able to do. John Grisham with The Litigators, he's coming back from a little hiatus to bring out another great legal thriller, which is what he was known for, kind of off the radar for a little bit, but, you know, he's going to come back here with The Litigators, so we're excited to see how that works. Barry Eisler with The Detachment. Now, I'm not sure if this is Barry's first book by himself, because, as you know, Barry decided to forego, you know, some traditional publication, and it looks like this is coming out from Thomas Mercer, so I don't believe this is going to be, you know, his personal first book out on his own, and it's a John Rain thriller, so he might have had to read it, you know, this might be one that was already in the works for Thomas and Mercer, but Barry is one of those authors that decided to forego, you know, a huge contract with St. Martin's Press, and he's going to start, you know, producing his own books on his own and e-books, and so we wish him nothing but the best and, you know, see how that works out. Another friend of ours here, Lisa Unger, with Angel Fire, is going to have her book come out, and it looks like it is starting at a 99 cents, which is very rare here for Random House Digital to come out with an ebook, you know, so low right now at 99 cents when the list price is $15. So, you know, that book was out here on, it says August the 9th, 2011. And for 99 cents to get a book like this for Lisa Unger is an absolute steal. And it's definitely something that I would check out for 99 cents. 99 cents, people. I mean, come on. That's the great thing about ebooks. It's 99 cents. You can find deals all over the place. J.D. Robb's coming back out. Sue Grafton's got one. You know, Michael Conley's coming out with another Harry Bosch book. And, you know, there's a lot of great authors. You know, Vince Flynn here with Killshot, another Mitch Rapp book. We're going to have Vince in the magazine for November to discuss this book. If you haven't already emailed me over for, you know, your issues of the August edition, which is out, and that's ready to go, you can get those four free issues right now. September is going to be coming out soon. Faye Kellerman is our big feature author of the month, if you know Faye Kellerman. And, you know, her series, you know, she's been doing some fabulous work Her body of work is extensively long, and she has a great series that she puts out. So Faye Keller is going to be in the magazine here, like I said, for September. October is going to be a big surprise. We always do a lot of fun with October. That's kind of our horror month where we, you know, kind of explore, I guess you want to say, more of the dark side of mystery, suspense, thriller. We're kind of able to, you know, look into more of the horror, not really the gore, but more of the horror. I'm more of a person where I think gore and horror are two totally separate genres, and I'm not into all the gore and the blood and the stuff like that. I think that just takes away from the story if that's all you're doing. You know, my favorite horror stories are the things that scare you that you can't see more than what you can see, which is, I think, why Halloween was such a perfect horror movie, because if you look, there was no blood in the movie except for a very little bit when Jamie Lee Curtis gets scratched, but the killings were done with no blood, no gore. It was just the anticipation and the suspense wrapped up into a horror book. And that was what, you know, definitely made Halloween probably the most successful horror movie, I would say, ever. I would arguably have to say that that's probably one of the best, you know, horror movies ever, because, again, it's not what you can see, it's what you can't see. And that's what makes a horror movie, in my estimation, you know, just outstanding. So, you know, Linwood Barclay is coming out with another one called The Accident, a Thriller. Stephen King is bringing out one, and this is being released on November the 8th, 2011. And with Stephen King, you're always getting something that's a little bit different, and we're trying to get him on to talk about this book. He's extremely busy right now. If you didn't know, he's doing a left-wing talk show that he's going to be hosting, so it's very difficult to nail down his time. But his book is called 11/22/63, and for those of you who might not know that date, that is the date that John F. Kennedy was shot and killed in Dallas by Lee Harvey Oswald, and Lyndon Johnson then took the oath as the President of the United States, and that's kind of, you know, the changing of, you know, the guard. You know, he was the last president to get assassinated with Kennedy back in 63. And Stephen decides to go back and alter history and to say, what if that never happened? You know, what if you could go back and stop that? You know, what if you could go back and stop moments in history that were changing events? For instance, you know, what would happen if you went back and, you know, changed the events of Hiroshima and that never would have happened? You know, how long would the war have gone on? Or what if the atomic bomb was maybe never invented if you go back that far? So he takes back, and his character here is called Jake Epping. So he's going to alter history and see what kind of forms out of that in the future to kind of see what happens. It's a very intriguing, you know, story. And it's been done many times before by different people. But I have to say that, you know, this is Stephen's first crack at it. And anything that he kind of does is, you know, without a doubt, it's beyond the gold stature. You know, it's more of the platinum. So I'm very intrigued to see how he pulls this one off. So again, that's the latest Stephen King book, which comes out on November the 8th, 2011, called 11/22/63. The only thing about the book that scares me right off the bat, that's 960 pages. Now, Under the Dome was a great book, and that was long too, but 960 pages, you know, that's a biggie. I mean, Stephen likes to write the big books. He writes the epics now, so that's something to, you know, keep in mind. Patricia Cornwell's coming back out with a book called Red Mist, and it's another K-Star Peta novel, and this looks like it's coming out in December, right before the holiday season, so that's another one to keep the eye out on. And all these are coming out on ebook too. And the one thing that I'm starting to see, if you guys don't have your readers yet, you know, Amazon is having great deals on readers. The new HP tablets are not that came out 7 weeks ago are now $99. So there's really no excuse for you not to be able to go out and, you know, get a reader to be able to read all these fantastic ebooks. Like I said, you're getting these deals at tremendous, tremendous prices. And you're talking, you know, in most cases, you know, ebooks are 70% off what you would go and buy in a bookstore for a hardcover book, which, you know, with borders closing a lot of other ones, I mean, basically Amazon is Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com are the ways to buy the books nowadays. You know, even if you do live in California where they're starting to charge sales tax on, you know, the Amazon purchases, it's still a better deal. It's also, you know, still a better way to get your books. Right now, you could just go through and, you know, like I said, I'm an ebook fanatic. I've been pushing ebooks for a long time. I think it's the way to go. So that's definitely something that you want to look forward to is, you know, into the future here with seeing how those tablets and those readers go and picking up one. Another one of our friends, a great author that's going to be on next week's show, is Stephen James. And his book, The Queen, which is the fifth, or the sixth, my fault. No, it is. It's the fifth. The fifth book here in the Patrick Bauer series. The book comes out September the 1st, so it's going to come out next Thursday, if I have my math right. So it looks like next Thursday is when that book comes out. And like I said, this is the fifth book in the Patrick Bauer series. I have to say, you know, it starts off with the pawn and the rook and the knight and the bishop, that the queen is definitely, well, I would say that the queen is very much comparable in the line of the series to where, you know, we rated the bishop as the best book of 2010, and we haven't really started looking at the best books in 2011, but The Queen is definitely going to be in consideration. You know, I can't give the review until the book has come out. The publisher doesn't like all that stuff. But I will just say that it is one that you need. If you're a fast-paced thriller kind of writer, reader, and that's what you like, then Stephen James is an author that is in your bookshelf, without a doubt. He's an author that's in your bookshelf, and so The Queen comes out on September the 1st, another book you need to go get. We received a lot of them in the mail here not too long ago, and so I'm trying to kind of go through with Ann Perry coming out with a new book. Joel Rosenberg in October is coming out. We also are going to have, we got Louise Penny's book in the mail last night, A Trick of the Light. And she's another great author that we would love to be able to, you know, have on the show and talk to. So just a lot of great things that are happening out there in the world of books. And also, you know, I'd have to say kind of in the world of, you know, of TV and movies and things like that. So it doesn't look like that what we're going to get here is we're coming down to the end. I don't think we're going to get James Rollins. I have to check to see if possibly he is on the East Coast, and he's might having problems with the hurricane. I know that it's kind of hit a little landfall. Maybe he's, you know, traveling, things have changed and stuff like that. But we will get James back on because we love to talk to him. He's a good friend of ours, and he'll get him back on the show. But we're definitely going to be able to get here. Brad and Barry Clinch, they're going to be coming on Chasing Ghost Texas Style. They are the stars of the show Ghost Lab, which is on the Discovery Channel. They started their company called Everyday Paranormal. And, you know, it is a fast, quick read book. Comes out here in October. The date of the book, I got the information here in front of me. Maybe I should have saw that. Oh, it just says October 2011. It's not giving me an exact date. But, I mean, it's a fascinating, read. When you get to be, you know, the insides and outs here, and we're going to get a little bit into the inside of the, you know, kind of the behind the scenes of, you know, kind of what it takes. I mean, you know, we all remember seeing the movie Ghost, you know, the Ghostbusters with Bill Murray and Harold Ramos and all those. And, you know, this takes a little bit beyond that because they got some great stories in here from, you know, you're not going to see the, you know, the green slime and all that other fun stuff. I mean, we're talking, you know, real life in your face, you know, ghosts that pretty much when you watch these shows, they kind of let you know. I mean, it's almost like they're living among us all the time. It's like they're around us all the time. And some people are able to pick up on these things and some people just are not. I, in turn, you know, like I said, I've never experienced a ghost, but I'm here to say that I think they're 100% real. I think there's way too much evidence for the contrary. I think if somebody is a skeptic, I think they're always going to be a skeptic, and they're just never going to change, even if it's thrown in front of them in their face and they're thrown in the middle of Poltergeist, the movie, and they're still going to think that it was fake. But like I said, there's just way, way, way too much information right now to even think, I don't think, that, you know, that ghosts are not real. And we're going to get into that here with the experts, like I said, behind the stars of the TV series Ghost Lab on the Discovery Channel. Well, I've been talking here for a little bit. I'm going to take a quick break to get back on with our going to get on with our guests here, Brad and Barry Klinge, Chasing Ghost Texas Style from Everyday Paranormal. So we're going to be here in just a second. We'll be back in just a second, and I'm going to clear my throat from all that, you know, drink that I had. And we will see you right back here. Listen to this. Exactly, ladies and gentlemen. Well, welcome back here to Suspense Radio. I want the truth to be known, too. And there's no better people to tell us a little bit about the truth than our next guest that we have on the air. We are joined here by the stars of Ghost Lab on the Discovery Channel and their latest book, Chasing Ghost Texas Style. And we're joined here by Barry Klings. Barry, how are you doing? Nice to meet you. Is Brad with you?
Good. I'm doing good. I'm not sure, Brad. Brad's not actually physically with me. He knows to call in, so he should be joining us shortly.
Okay. So Chasing Ghosts Texas Style, your latest book, comes out in October. And I'm sure, you know, kind of what prompted you to write it was to put all these great stories that you've been able to encounter over the last 20 years into a book. So did you just have to go through and pick out your most, I guess, endangering stories or most intriguing ones that you went ahead and you put into this book?
Yeah, the book's actually about, you know, it starts with our childhood. It starts out kind of how we got interested in the whole ghost craze. Went forward 20 years, we formed the group Everyday Paranormal, and the book is all about us before Ghost Lab. So all of our trials and tribulations, all of our investigations, there's some drama involved here and there. So it's kind of a tell-all all the way up into Ghost Lab of what it took to get to the TV show.
So, I mean, the good thing is that you're kind of letting people know that it's not all, you know, what they see on the TV. I mean, there's a lot of time, I would have to assume, that when you're out there and you're investigating something, like you said, like you were in San Antonio and an abandoned house, there's a lot of downtime. I mean, there's a lot of time when you're probably sat there and nothing happens.
Oh, yeah, there's lots of downtime. I mean, if you seen the episode of the Ghost Lab, you know, it's each half segment's 21 minutes. You know, we spend 3 days at every location, so to whittle all that down to 21 minutes is you're not seeing a lot of it. So, yes, there's a lot of sitting there. There's a lot of boredom. There's a lot of just, you know, going through the evidence time and time again. And what you see on the show is, of course, the best of the best. But a lot of time, 15, 16-hour days go into these making these episodes. And as well as before the show, you know, doing the investigations was, you know, very time-consuming. You only see what we present, so.
And seeing as how there's a lot of downtime, and I would think, you know, chasing ghosts and going out there and doing something, which I'm a firm believer that those ghosts out there, and anyone who doesn't believe is just literally has their eyes closed and doesn't want to open them. But there's got to be times out there when either you or Brad and you guys out there and you're trying to scare each other. Does that ever happen when you're on the road? You're sitting there and you're like, that you guys are pulling pranks on each other when you're out there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's kind of sad on Ghost Lab. You really didn't see there's a few humorous moments, but we're always pulling practical jokes on ourselves as well as the crew, the camera guys, the audio guys, as well as our fellow team members. So it was never a dull moment. You really had to have your guard up because you never knew when it was going to be pulled on you. But it makes it fun in a monotonous world. So we're very, very big pranksters.
Now, was it both of your ideas to go ahead here and write the book Chasing Ghosts Texas Style, or, you know, was it, you know, did you kind of start out by saying, yeah, I want to go ahead and do it, and then Brad was like, yeah, let's do it together? Kind of how did the formation of the book decide to come together between the two of you?
We've always, you know, had the idea of writing a book. We just never had the time to really sit down and figure out how to do it. But we were just between season one and season two, we were approached by a literary agent, kind of saw some things on YouTube, on the TV show, as well as our website, and thought we had an interesting story to tell. So he started talking to us, and it made the book happen. So we collaborated with Kathy Passero, and a very well-known author, and we sat down. It took about a year to really talk about the different things and of what we want to get across to the public. And when you read the book, you'll be pleasantly surprised of how well the book is put together. It's actually, as Ms. Brad and I are talking, so you'll actually see in the book, you know, when I'm talking or when Brad's talking. So it's almost like we're having a conversation with you.
Right, and the good thing is that it is kind of the behind-the-scenes story of how you started, the things that you decided to go do, and why you decided to go do all of this. Just kind of give a little bit, you know, of insight, I guess, to people who might not know who you are or haven't seen the story. You know, what was the one, I guess, maybe the one telling thing, or the one maybe supernatural kind of thing for you to go ahead and both you determine, you know, we need to do this Everyday Paranormal, and there's something out there that we need to go do.
Well,
we need to explore this further.
I'll speak for Brad. You know, of course, you see on the TV show, Brad had his experience, you know, in Gettysburg 20 years ago when he was actually in high school, and I was in the Navy stationed down in Florida. And he saw a ghost regiment and actually caught him on videotape that disappeared right in front of his eyes in the battlefields of Gettysburg. And that's what kind of threw him down the track. He showed me the video when he came to visit me in Florida, and I was really blown away. I was still very skeptical of what it actually was. But it wasn't until we actually, Brad had gone on a few business trips, and I was at a party at his house, and he was showing me some EVPs he caught in Alcatraz. And I was very intrigued of, you know, what was that? You know, where did these voices come from? So he said, hey, I'm forming a little team called, and we're going to call it Everyday Paranormal. Do you want to join up? It'd just me and you, and we'll be the founders and go from there. I said, yeah, I'll do it. You know, time to hang out with my little brother, have some fun, and really went into it like that, very skeptical. But the very first investigation we ever went on, we just caught the mother load of evidence. We caught, you know, I caught a chair sliding out of a table on video. We got pictures, EVPs. And from that night, it was back in October of 2007, not too long ago, is where I was like, wow, this stuff is real. And now I'm very curious of why it happens. And that's kind of how the theories and some of the things that are in place in Ghost Lab, it came from that very first investigation of, you know, what we were doing. We caught that really good evidence. We really instilled that in our practices in Ghost Lab. So what you see on Ghost Lab is what we've been doing for years before that TV show. So that is very legit and very real.
So now, is there anything now that you guys have been doing this for so long that would literally scare you? Is there anything probably left that maybe would scare you or has scared you? Do you know of anything that could possibly happen?
Not as far as scare us. I mean, we get very kind of excited and, you know, you get the hairs go up on the back of your neck kind of a reaction. But as far as scared, no, we always compare it to, you know, you have a firefighter. You know, firefighters are trained to run into the fire. Same thing with us. When something happens, we're running head into it. We've been startled. You know, there's things that happen. Right. I mean, when you have someone come up and grab you or touch you, it's a startling thing. It's not like nice and go easy and, oh, this is a nice moment. But, you know, but I like that. That's what we live for as investigators, is for those moments. And luckily, we've had a couple of those experiences over the years.
Well, you know what? It's good because now we finally got Brad here on the phone. And, Brad, I want to thank you so much for joining us. We're just talking with your brother, Barry. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Sorry I'm a little late. Saturday afternoon, kids, lunches. You know how that goes.
I know how that goes, yeah. I'm with you on that one. Hey, I thought maybe you were out there chasing something, so that was fine with me. I mean, that'd be good to hear about that. But we were talking.
I fished a ham sandwich and some Doritos, basically. That's all I was doing this afternoon.
Nothing too interesting. So, you know, we were just sitting here talking, and I want to make sure I get your guys' last name right. And it's Brad and Barry, and is it Kling?
That's right, Kling.
Okay, so we're talking here with Brad and Barry Kling, and they are the stars of the show Ghost Lab, and they started the founders of Everyday Paranormal. And your book that's coming out in October is Chasing Ghosts Texas Style, and it's like Barry was saying, it's kind of the tell-all of how things got started. And you know, Brad, you were the first one to kind of have the first encounter, like Barry was just saying, in Gettysburg, and that just like caught you totally by surprise. Was there anything that you were looking for? What was your first reaction when all of a sudden something like this hit you? Because I've never been able to have that happen to me, and I've wanted to see it go so bad. Maybe that's probably why I haven't seen one.
Exactly right. We always say if people who go into these ghost hunts and they form these groups because they want to see ghosts, I think if you're trying to see one, you're never going to, because that's what happens when you're least suspected. And that's exactly what happened in Gettysburg. I was 17. It was the middle of the day, clear blue sky. You know, it's not a scary setting at all. And my first reaction when I saw this was that these people were real. They were doing a reenactment. That's why I, you know, ran after them with a video camera. When they were gone all of a sudden, your first reaction is you first doubt yourself that, well, did I see what I saw? But they were in plain view for so long, and I was able to get them on videotape, that at that moment, there was no doubt in my mind that this stuff existed. And I always call it my personal proof of the paranormal, because, you know, you weren't there. The guy down the street wasn't there. I can show him this evidence. I can tell him the story, and I can say, this is what makes me believe, but it's up to you. You almost have to have your own experiences to believe.
Now, what would you tell, you know, and I'm sure people have asked you this a lot, because a lot of people, because it's becoming so popular, there's so many different ghost, you know, stories now on TV that a lot of people want to try to get into this. What do you tell them when they ask you, hey, this is something that I want to go ahead and get involved with and start doing, you know, and they say, you know, how can I do it? What do you tell them?
Well, I personally tell them if you're looking for something to do on a Saturday night for, you know, for grins, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort and a lot of gas and a lot of money to be able to do it the right way. And if you go out there and you start doing it the wrong way, just for funsies, the reputation is going to follow you because word of mouth is really big in this field. And if you're, you know, looking to get more investigations and, you know, places to allow you to come in after hours when they're not there, that sort of thing, you're not going to do it if you're not into it for the right reasons. And so I say, you know, have a gut check. If you're in it for the right reasons and you really want to do this, it really interests you, then go for it. If not, then, you know, just watch television shows.
Now, do you guys ever allow, like, someone like myself to go ahead and say, you know what, can I join you on one of these to kind of see what you guys do and help you out in any way I can? Do you guys allow people like that to kind of join with you?
Yeah, we actually have events. We put on across the country where people come out, we pick a location, and they investigate with us. In fact, next month we're going to be in Gettysburg again, do an investigation at the Fairfield Inn. Yeah, people, and we kind of limit it to people. We, you know, you go to some of these events, you have 100 or 200 people at these events. We keep in line about 40, 50, and we investigate. And we kind of show people how we did it, you know, on Ghost Lab, how we do it as everyday paranormal. We actually, it's almost like a how-to, and we teach people what we think is the correct way to investigate ghosts, and people walk away very pleased. We've had some good reviews of our events, and like I said, we're at Gettysburg, we're at the USS Lexington here in Corpus, we're in Villisca, Iowa at the Axe Murder House.
And every time, people have had, people like yourselves who've never experienced it, they want to, they go in with an open mind, they go in with the right techniques, and they actually have experiences. They see something, they heard something, they recorded something on the recorder. And to see the look on their face, you know, it's like it takes me back to Gettysburg when I was 17. It's like, oh, man, this stuff is real. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, we did a piece on, we didn't visit it, we did a lot of research on that Visalia Axe House in Iowa, which is supposed to be just off the chart with paranormal, you know, activity. Have you guys been there before? Is this going to be your first time you're going there?
No, we actually did an episode there, Ghost Lab Season 2.
Was that the first time you were there? Did you had never
that
been
was,
there
Yeah,
before?
That was the very first time we were there, and we actually found some really crazy evidence, because that murder is never solved. You know, they didn't know who did it, so we actually found some evidence that actually presented some actual murder evidence of maybe the path the killer took when he actually killed these people due to our EMF data logger. So it's a very cool house. It's a very tiny house. But it is chock full of evidence. We've got some good EVPs out there, too.
Yeah, because supposedly the killer is still there, even though the killer never really died in that house. The killer supposedly still haunts that area. You know, and I did not see the episode of Ghost Lab that you were talking about. So, you know, I just seen things about it, and I felt that was just like a very creepy place that would be creepy just to go to.
Yeah, go to YouTube, and it's called Path of a Killer is the name of the episode, and that'll show Villisca, and it'll show you just, you know, what it took to catch all that stuff.
Now, is there one place that you've been out there that has just caught your eye that you didn't really expect a lot of, that all of a sudden just kind of blew you away with the kind of stuff that you were able to get?
Yeah, I'm telling you, the catfish plantation up in Waxahachie near Dallas, that place, it's a little tiny, you know, old farmhouse from the late 1800s, in the middle of a unassuming neighborhood, and, you know, about 1,500 square feet. It's a restaurant. The place, you know, pound for pound, is probably the most haunted place I've ever seen in my life. Things happen there on a minute-to-minute basis, and I kid you not. Something happens. Silverware moves. You know, you see full-bodied apparitions will get up in the middle of the night or walk across. Doors will open. Things will fly across the room. we have been there several times, and I swear every 20, 30 minutes something, not just minor, something wow is happening there.
And when you catch these things like on EVP and you hear people talking, and, you know, Barry was saying that things startle, but they don't really know scared. Do those voices ever really, you know, almost just get you to a point where it's like when they say get out, it's like, yeah, you know, let's get out of here.
Nah, we laugh and we say, especially the get out. That's so cliche for a ghost to say. It's like,
I don't know.
If they die and they read a ghost manual and say, okay, so, you know, 50% of the time you have to say get out.
They're doing
we
the
don't
Beatles
know why that
thing.
Is.
Yeah.
But no, it excites us. It's like, you know, if something walked up and said, "I'm going to kill you," and hit you, you know, the back of the head. We're going to say, "Bring it on, show me some more," because from our experiences, you know, we've never been harmed doing it. I mean, I've had blood drawn on me before, but you know, I scabbed up, and you know, everything is fine, so it's not that big of a deal.
So. When you're looking back at the beginning of this, you had no idea what, you know, you saw these apparitions in Gettysburg, and you decided this was something that you wanted to check out. You got Barry involved with it because he was kind of skeptical, like you mentioned, and now you guys have been into it. So when you look back in 20 years, did you ever think that it would still be going on as far as it is? And you've just taken it now to this whole other level in what you've been able to do, and the technology's been able to help you along the way, because now you're able to get a lot more things that you probably never were able to get 20 years ago.
Yeah, you know, it's go ahead.
When we first started Everyday Paranormal, you know, we did a few investigations, but it quickly turned to almost just every other night we were investigating. I mean, it was that quick. We had a website. We had people contacting us every other day to come and investigate their place. And, you know, we were gone, you know, 4 or 5 nights a week. Just and working our regular jobs, and it became quickly a business. So I really knew we were on to something, as far as like maybe a TV show in the future or something like that. But we never pursued it. We were actually found by a producer. They found our website, contacted us. It was about a year and a half process before we were even on TV, and so we never went looking for them. They found us, but we were very popular from the very beginning. And here in San Antonio, it's a very haunted city. A lot of places to investigate, and it just took off like a rocket when we first formed the group.
Yeah, my mom was from San Antonio, so I've been there a couple times, and it is one of those tremendously, you know, rich cities where there's a lot of things that happened around there. And you know, I think the city is great, especially during Fiesta Week, which is the third week in April, which I'll give everybody a little plug there for San Antonio. Go visit San Antonio during that week, and you'll have a lot of fun. You know, yeah, so, you know, and then you decided to go ahead and do the book. Now, do you plan on doing anything, you know, any sequels or anything following up the book down the road? Are you going to put, you know, more things together? What do you see your writing career, you know, or anything that, you know, that going on in the future?
Well, we'd love to follow up this book. You know, obviously, since this book is from the beginning, kind
right.
of chapter one, Everyday Paranormal, all the way up until the time we got the TV show. We'd like to do a follow-up book, you know, if the stars and the planets align, talking about once we got the TV show and what it was like now filming and you know, doing what we do with the production crew and all the ups and downs of you know, of having your interest but also having someone also having a vested interest in you too. And, you know, that book would be a follow-up. And then, you know, even looking further down the road, you know, what happens after television? You know, what kind of things do you do? You know, does television make you lose your interest, or does it strengthen it and make you do, you know, want to do more? You know, these types of things we're already thinking ahead on.
Now, are you going to do any kind of, I guess, coming up to where you're going to even do like a blueprint, like I mentioned, for people who decided, hey, you know, this is something that I want to get involved with, or are you going to stay away from that altogether? You're not going to really do like more of like a self-help book on the beginning of that? Yeah, kind of like a how-to, kind of like getting involved with it.
I kind of go into the philosophy that, you know, if you're passionate about what you're doing, you're going to know how to do it. And by me telling someone, well, this is how you do it and that's how you do it, that's how it works for me. It doesn't mean it necessarily works for someone else. So I can tell them how, you know, I probably won't write a book about it, but, you know, I gladly tell people how I did it, but I also tell them, you know, I'm a certain type of personality, and it takes a lot, you know, Barry and I, it takes a lot to drive something to the level that we've taken this. So, you know, don't look at us and say, well, I can do that too, because a lot of it, honestly, was luck. You know, we just happened to be contacted by a producer. It's kind of a 1 in a million chance, but, you know, that coupled with our personalities and how we do things and our drive, that's how we ended up where we are today.
But we also tell people the truth about it. You know, a lot of people think it's all fame and glory and it's just so glamorous of a job. It's far from that. I always tell people, I say, okay, be prepared to be gone the road for about 6 months. Be prepared to be away from your family for 7 to 8 weeks at a time. Be prepared to miss all your kids' baseball games and cheerleading events and school events. Be prepared to be living out of hotels and airports and fast food and rental cars for about 6 months. So if you want
to
do that, yeah, you're tired. You're literally just dragging the entire time because you're working so many hours and there's no holidays. There's no days off. You work 7 days a week. But if you want to do that, then go for it. But I always kind of bring the reality of reality television to people. It's not glamorous. You're not paid $1 million. Far, far from that. In fact, I mean, it was literally, you know, eating beanie weenies for weeks and because you're not making any money. We did it because it was an opportunity for us to do it. We wanted to push the envelope a little more with our research and what we were doing, but we took a financial hit with it. It was not to get, you know, rich and famous at all. And people kind of look at us when we tell them that. It's like, what? It's like, that's the reality.
Hey, sign me up. You made it sound so great.
I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah, we would.
When people look at pro football players or pro athletes or models or actors, they think, wow, that's just so wonderful. But then everyone that's in there tells you it's not as easy and as glamorous as you seem to think it is. You're seeing a very, very small snippet of exactly what the whole process is. And if you were to see the whole thing, like you said, you're out there for 3 days and you have a lot of downtime. You're walking around with really nothing going on because the ghosts don't know there's TV cameras. You know, you can only get it when you can get it, and there's a lot of downtime going on. So, you know, I think that a lot of people find that, you know, they just don't realize that.
And you better have some thick skin because your life is now on public display, and you know, in the blogs, in the TV shows, and everywhere else, you're constantly getting just raked over the coals for no reason. They don't know you from Adam, but you know.
Because our style of handling things like that prior to being in the public eye was we're just gonna whoop up on you. You know, if you say something bad about me, I'm gonna whoop up on you. We can't exactly do that when there's, you know, millions of people around the world who are watching you, and there's a couple of them out there who say, oh, he faked that. I know that for a fact because it's like, really? Who are you, and why would you even say that? So you do learn to get thick-skinned.
Yeah, those are the people who, why even go to magic shows when they're just trying to figure out the trick? I go to be entertained. I don't try to figure out exactly how he made the elephant disappear. I just like it that the elephant disappeared. That's what I like about it. And so,
and it's truly Monday morning quarterbacks, man. They know exactly how you should have done it, you know, what it really was, like as if they were there. So,
I will say that they should have fired Wade Phillips a year ago. I will say that. He should have been gone before last year, but that's, you know, if you're a Cowboy fan living down there, I will say that.
No, we're not Cowboy fans.
We're not Cowboy fans, but we live down here.
Oh, really? Okay. So it's either Cowboys or Texans. It's got to be one of the two.
No, we're Steelers fans.
We're Steelers, actually.
Steelers from Texas. Now, see, that's something you don't see every day. And I grew up in Ohio as a Steeler fan back in the 70s. So that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Our dad was from Pittsburgh. So we learned to like the Steelers or we didn't live in his house. So we learned real quick. So
here's a question, and this is something I wanted to know, because it's something I've never really seen. You know, I know people have tried to, you know, drum up as far as mediums and talk to, like, old famous people. Have you ever, you know, went out and, you know, maybe went to, like, a place where, and I don't know if you ever done, where maybe, like, Jack the Ripper was to see if he's haunted that place or anything like that, to try to get any evidence of any kind of famous, you know, mystery that's out there to see if you could solve anything if anything like that would ever come up or happen. Is there anything that's ever happened like that with you?
Oh, yeah. We you watch, especially season one and season two, we went after John Wilkes Booth. We went after Wild Bill Hickok. And we actually found the evidence that they were there. I mean, pretty hard, concrete evidence that they were there.
Yeah, we like to follow history, and these are places that weren't so notoriously haunted. You know, it wasn't that there was something that happened there every day. There may have been a legend. There may have been stories passed down. And, you know, we did a lot of research on it, and we actually came away at a couple of those with some just earth-shattering and what we consider history-changing evidence.
Right.
But definitely, and there were some other places, you know, that we've always considered to go, you know, something heinous or something, you know, big happened there. Let's go see if it's haunted. You know, maybe there's no stories. Let's go see if, you know, we can actually get some evidence from a place that doesn't have any kind of stories to it.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. Your book here, Chasing Ghosts, Texas Style, is, you know, the first and, like you said, hopefully a nice long series worth of books here that are coming out. And I was going to ask because I saw some kind of a rumor. Now, is Ghost Lab back on Discovery Channel for another season? I heard something that might be canceled. What was that kind of rumor? Let's dispel that right now.
No, it's not a rumor. We actually were canceled after season two.
You are.
So Ghost Lab, there's no new seasons coming out. We're actually shown in reruns on Planet Green and I think, what, Biography Channel?
Yeah, I think Biography showed a couple.
But season two was the last of it. So.
And no other stations have maybe called to pick anything up yet, right? So everything right now is reruns, nothing new.
Nothing new,
there's
but
nothing
you'll
new
actually
right
start
now.
Seeing new things from me and Brad as far as independent. I mean,
right.
Brad and I are actually going to start our own little kind of little independent film company where we go out and we do things our way and ourselves, and we're not kind of wrapped up in the red tape, you know, as we were before. So we're not done. You're going to see us. You're going to see us on TV, the internet, different places, and different media forms. So the book is just
now,
the starting point.
Are you going to post that on your website, everydayparanormal.com, where people can follow you and all the stuff that you guys are doing? Is that the best place for them to get in contact with you on certain things?
Yeah, everydayparanormal.com. We also have Kling Brothers Facebook page. Go out and like it. We also have Everyday Paranormal Facebook page.
Right.
But we also have Ustream capabilities. We're actually redoing our website right now. We're going to have a nice video page where we can actually post things that we're doing, video announcements, stuff like that. So we're going to be constantly in your face for, you know, starting here in about a couple months, and with
very
our events
exciting.
And the different things going on. So we haven't gone away. So.
Well, I want to contact you because I would love to be able to join you guys on an event. So we'll talk a little bit off, and, you know, I'll email you, and we'll see, because I would love to be able to go out there and join you on that, because I think that would be fascinating to see it firsthand on exactly what it is, and then write a piece for it in the magazine so then people kind of do understand the behind the scenes of what ghost hunting is, you know, all about, along with what you write here in your book, Chasing Ghosts, Texas Style, and that means it's going to be big because everything in Texas is big. So, guys.
That is true.
Yeah, I want to thank you guys so much for joining us, Barry and Brad Kling here, the founders of Everyday Paranormal. Guys, thanks so much for joining us today. You have a great one.
All right,
thanks
for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Take care.
All right, take it easy. So again, everybody, that was Barry and Brad Kling here, the authors of Chasing Ghost Texas Style. You know them from Ghost Lab, stars on the Discovery Channel show, and everydayparanormal.com. You need to go and check out exactly what they're doing here. I want to thank everyone for joining us this day. It's been a great, you know, show. Too bad we weren't able to get James Rollins on, but we will check and make sure that we will get him on later. So we'll see you all next week with Stephen James coming on. We got a big show, Rick Mathena, some other great stars. So we'll see you guys all next week at 10 o'clock Pacific time right here on Suspense Radio. Have a great weekend.